Number 9. Replay. Bible times were exciting times. Miracles everywhere. Angels scurrying about, always appearing just at the right time, ready to push over Jericho's walls, or lead Peter out of prison, or make a way for Jesus through an angry mob. Elijah fed by ravens. His prayer turning off the rain. The fiery furnace, the lion's den. What a time to live! So when the scriptures were finished, angels were tired and began to take it easy. Miracles were put on the shelf. Prayers were stacked up and neglected. God can't do for us what he did for the people back there. Is that the way it was and is? Don't ever think it. The Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. Isaiah 59:1. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. We have already seen that God still has ravens and dogs and hens and spiders that do his bidding. Even as you read these words, God is hearing prayers and answering them in ways as spectacular as in the days of Elijah. And before you finish these pages, you will read a modern variation of the fiery furnace story that will take your breath away. The truth is that God and his angels are ready with a replay of the miracles of Bible times wherever they are needed. Says the Lord's servant, all that Christ received from God we too may have. Then ask and receive. With the persevering faith of Jacob, with the unyielding persistence of Elijah, claim for yourself all that God has promised. But you say, Elijah was a great man. I can't expect God to do for me what he did for Elijah. I'm just an ordinary person. Yes, Elijah was a great man. When he was guided and strengthened and controlled by the power of God, he was a great man atop Mount Carmel. But only hours later, when he withdrew his hand from the hand of God, he was very, very ordinary. Fleeing in fear from Jezebel's threats, dejected, depressed, wanting to die. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. James 5:17-18. God's promises are for us. His miracles are for us. His angels are watching over us. Every one of us. You and me. Listen to these words from the servant of the Lord. When in faith we take hold of his strength, he will change, wonderfully change, the most hopeless, discouraging outlook. He will do this for the glory of his name. Living faith in the Redeemer will smooth the sea of life and will deliver us from danger in the way that he knows to be best. Nothing can stand in his way. His power is absolute, and it is the pledge of the sure fulfillment of his promises to his people. He has means for the removal of every difficulty, that those who serve him and respect the means he employs may be delivered. These stories of angel activity are not brought together to entertain you. They are to strengthen your faith. They are to deepen your conviction that, with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. We are tempted sometimes to think that Jesus had an advantage over us, that he could live as he lived because of who he was. He was divine. He had powers that we do not have. He could do things we cannot do. But inspiration tells us Jesus revealed no qualities and exercised no powers that men may not have through faith in him. Jesus could walk through an angry mob and disappear. We can't do that. But angels led John Wesley through an angry mob. They did the same for Dr. Adam Clark, author of Clark's Commentary. An angel led James White through an angry mob. These men were great leaders, you say, yes. But listen to this contemporary incident involving an Adventist minister, his wife, and a young Jewish girl who had become interested in the Adventist faith. As the two ladies were distributing literature, a husky agitator began a loud tirade of verbal abuse. The Adventist minister, sensing danger, confronted the agitator, who said, "Who are you?" "I am her husband," he replied. "Listen as the pastor's wife tells it." Then all fury broke loose. Satan seemed to have full control of the man. In his rage, he began pummeling my husband and at the same time yelling at the top of his voice. For the first time, I realized the seriousness of the situation. In my distress, despite the fact that I was pressed in on every side by Jewish people, I lifted up my voice to heaven and audibly called, "Jesus, help us!" As I did this, something impelled me to look back, where to my great astonishment I saw an empty lane leading to the road, as though someone had gone through the crowd and had ordered the people to pull to one side. There was no policeman in sight. I walked through the open space. The Jewish girl followed me, and my husband followed her, unnoticed and unmolested by the crowd. The angel of the Lord must have hidden us from view, for that troublemaker stayed behind, still breathing out his invectives. Jesus had power over nature. He could command the wind and the waves to be still. We can't. But angels still have that power. They are constantly executing replays of the miracles of Jesus, sometimes in refreshing and unexpected variation. For when an angel says freeze, fire or flood or hail, runaway horses or speeding cars, or stolen carabao, water buffalo will stop as dead still as Balaam's donkey. Jeanette Snorrison was traveling down the left lane of a busy street. Ahead of her, a car was flashing its left turn signal. Hoping to avoid a delay, she checked to see if the right lane was clear, then turned her wheels to enter it. That is, she tried to turn the wheels. They would not turn. They seemed to be locked. At that moment, a sports car, which she had not seen, came speeding by in the lane she had tried to enter. Who locked the wheels? Einar Thusen was driving a team of four horses home from a wheat field. They were young and lively and eager to get home. He let them trot along. But suddenly an open newspaper blew up under them, and they panicked. They began running as fast as they could. He could not stop them. What could he do but pray? He had hardly begun his prayer when the horses stopped, as if they had run up against a stone wall. They would not go ahead one step, nor to the side. They were jumping up and down and were shaking from fright. Who stopped those horses? Was this a replay of Balaam's donkey? Samuel Lamos lives on a mountain farm in the Philippines. One night his only carabao was stolen, and he was unable to find it. He could only pray and leave the matter in God's hands. At the end of 4 weeks, he was asked to go to San Carlos to identify a carabao. The animal recognized him immediately, ran to greet him, and began licking his hand. The man who stole the carabao had gone halfway to the market, Samuel learned, when suddenly the caribou stopped. No matter how much the man whipped the animal, it would not move. Why? Muriel Wichman and Alice Kuhn were crossing the mountains when their car skidded on the ice and began spinning in wider and wider circles. Suddenly the car was picked up and set down, dead still on the ice, just to the right of center, headed in the right direction. Who did it? But I must tell you about Duane Tank. His story seems to fit here, though I'm not sure why. It is hardly a simple replay of Balaam's donkey, or of the spirit snatching away Philip, or of David escaping the spear of Saul. It has overtones of all three. But this is what happened. Duane and his wife had attended prayer meeting in Redwood City, California, one evening, and were driving home, heading towards Mountain View. They had been married about 2 years at the time. In those days, the road was a three-lane highway, with the middle lane used for passing. There was little traffic that night, with only a few cars on the road. They were almost to Dinah's Shack, a restaurant, when Duane pulled into the middle lane, which was clear, to pass another car. But suddenly, a car zipped out from behind an approaching car into the middle lane and headed right for them. The driver seemed not to see them at all. Duane could not possibly move into another lane, because he was now even with the car on both sides. There was literally no place to go. A Red Sea situation? Maybe that's it. In just seconds, the two cars were approaching each other at 50 or 60 miles an hour, and were headlight to headlight, possibly 50 feet apart. Philip was set down at Azotus. Duane and his wife were set down in the Dinah's Shack parking lot. That's where they were the next thing they knew, just turning around in the lot. There were no skid marks. How did they get there? Did angels pick them up, car and all, and move them over the other car, or cause the other car to disappear? Did angels make a safe lane through traffic, as at the Red Sea, or just snatch them up and set them down? They don't know. It may be that in this case, the angels executed a triple play too fast for the understanding. The day of miracles is not past. God could even today rerun the Jonah or the Daniel chapters to save lives and strengthen the faith of his dear people.